Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
Oh no. There's a prop that's not working. I had a little thing that was going to sing "We Wish You a Merry Christmas." Ah. Right, I've heard that a lot this week. It's Red News Podcast 96, and it is a pre-Christmas podcast because I don't think we're going to have time, all of us, with everything we've got going on. So, obviously, it's season's greetings, and I hope you all get to have as good a one as we possibly can in this shitstorm. And I'm joined by Coggy, Nick, and Shane. It's a bit of a mismatch again, this one. Nick's going to add a quiz later on that I'm going to insert into this, a good quiz he gave the Red News sellers do. And then I've got a bit of a shambles right at the end from the Red News sellers do, as much as I can edit in from the shambles, which we had. And to be fair, it was quite good fun. We actually ended up talking seriously about United at midnight, more serious than we've ever talked on this podcast, bizarrely. And there was a couple of highlights that I did the escape room, and they showed they're quite brainy because they were solving them. I had the answers in front of me, puzzles and things like this, and I couldn't get it. I still can't get it, and I had the answers in front of me, and they got out in 15 minutes. But Mark's face of absolute hatred for me for doing this, and I'd sent them all three beers. And at the end of his third beer, Nick said, "I'll do the quiz," and Mark just left. He didn't even say bye. He just left. That was like the contractual obligation of Mark. I've drunk my three beers. Now can I fuck off? So, right, we're doing this after City. Now, my thinking after City, it's going to be a long monologue, lads, so sorry about this, is that we're dissecting games too much. I do think we're taking it a bit too seriously, as I was a month ago, but we're almost reacting so much to every result. We're spinning this. We just need to take a step back. Look at the weekend's results. Bizarrely, I'm going to tell you something here. I heard of two people last week that Ollie's told the team, they can get consistency, you can win the league this year. Believe it or not, he's told the players this. There was so much gnashing about yesterday. Yeah, it was a dire game. But in the context of, we've lost 6 out of 9 to them, so I can understand it. If we lost, he's under pressure again about his job. So he just thought, both of them, more I think Pep, why he didn't go for us, but it was just get out of Dodge without losing. And Red Leicester put something quite fun in the forum saying the level of arguing and fallouts online was far disproportionate to the effort that was put on by the players. And of course we don't like Maguire and that hugging, but the game's gone. What we grew up, they're not kicking shit out of each other. They fall over the slightest thing. So for me, it's just the way, the shiteness of it all, that they all hug each other. But Bess got on with Doyle, didn't he? So this is nothing new. But I looked at the table at the end of the day and I thought, no, we're not going to win the league. We all know that's balmy, but you can see Ollie's thinking, because if this was Fergie, he would win the league at this stage with what this squad is, that we were 4 points off last night. If we win our game tonight, you know, we're 2 points behind. So it's not been great, but equally it's not the doom that we're being told it is. I thought playing Pogba, he wants out and he's playing for a sale. So that's not a bad thing, because you know, if you're going to get the best out of him for the next month, because he's really going to give a shit and he's going to play well because he thinks he could influence him. His statement last night was absolute bollocks. You know, it didn't actually say anything, but everyone went, yeah, well done, Pogba. It didn't say anything. It could have been, if you could read it, either he was saying, you know, the club and me are talking. So that for, but I just think we need to stop dissecting every result. I have taken my zen, and that'll go. But if you look at where me and Nick were arguing at City League Cup, where Phil Jones got the ball and tried to play out of the back, and we were embarrassed at that home leg, there has been progress. I don't want to get upset when I'm not there, like I felt that night. And I think it will do us the world of good if we just try and think, see where we are. My final thought on yesterday was, yesterday's draw is only good if you win the next three, and I think he categorically has to win the next two league games, because otherwise the fallout, and you want to win at Everton. So yesterday is it's a shame. It's a derby. You want to win. But if you win the next three, the context is good. Right, I'm going to go to Nick first. How many obscure, odd sports have you watched today, Nick?
I've watched Southampton, Sheffield United. Then I watched the Scousers. I saw a tiny bit of Arsenal. And I've watched a shitload of NFL.
Have you been toilet? You've actually gone out the door as well in that time.
I have gone out the door for about 3 hours as well in that time. But a lot of it was still watching the football.
So Albanian discotheque dancing competitions or anything like that in the spare half hour you had this morning?
Not yet, but I mean, the night's still young. It's only, what, a half nine, so let's not rule anything out.
There's still time for a Canadian ice hockey game at the end. Right, come on, Nick, then.
You want about for yesterday?
All of it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of understand, really, with Ole what he was doing. You know, you knew it was going to be a cagey game, if anything, of the Chelsea and the Arsenal games to go by earlier on in the season. You know, you kind of knew this was going to be a bit of a blueprint. I still think he's got that Spurs game in the back of his mind where he's just very cautious about opening himself up a bit too much. And, you know, if they do and they overgo for it, they're going to get punished like that. I still think that if we play without a natural striker with Cavani down the middle, I still think we're missing one. It really limits us on the right-sided player. Thought the game just lacked a bit of width, lacked a bit of creativity. I'm not sure why Pep didn't want to go for it. I thought we were there for the taking after obviously falling out of Europe and then obviously resting players during the week. I mean, Jesus for them up front, I still think he's a bit of a fraud. I don't think he's a great player. But Aguero plays that game. I think they go for it a bit more. They go out and they win it a lot more comfortably probably than what happened. But that game badly needed a goal and it just didn't look like anyone was going to get one from anywhere, did it really?
I've said this before, whether Ollie goes, stays, I don't like the language some Reds use about him. I find it really upsetting for people. You know, you're a fraud, you're a twat. I just think there's ways to react. If you don't agree with a manager, it doesn't. And even with Jose, I didn't like him, but you don't have to resort to that. I'll go Shane and then Coggy, but I watched, I don't know if you saw Match of the Day, but Scrotum Head for once, pointing out with Rashford and Greenwood, who have their obvious positives, but we miss, you know, the striker, and I don't think we should be relying on a 33-year-old for it. So, you know, we miss Cavani, but we've got to get a striker who gets in the box, because they're the ones who win those games 1-0, and they're the ones who win your titles. Shane?
Yeah, I didn't watch Match of the Day, but watching the game yesterday, we done all right, by the way, it's not negative, but I just thought we weren't clinical enough again, and I think that's starting to come to the fore too often now, that you kind of, there's games where we don't do too badly, but chances are few and far between, and then the few we do, we waste. And I think, you know, I really like Rashford, but he's not always as clinical as he should be. We've talked about Martial at length, and I just think we do miss a really, really clinical goal scorer, and hopefully that will be Greenwood in time, but he's clearly not. You know, he's not going to be there in an instant as good as he is. So, yeah, I agree with that. And it's a bit like when we lost to City a few years back, it was, you know, there's a few deficiencies in that team, but the person that Ferguson went for was the goal scorer in Van Persie. You know, that's what wins games. I kind of agree with Nick in the sense that it does seem that Ollie, you know, it wasn't a bad performance yesterday, but Ollie is kind of scared, I think, of losing. I think that is hamstringing him a bit at the moment, that we need to get over that and be a bit more positive in his game coming up. But yeah, I thought it was a reasonable performance. I thought Shaw played well, actually. He was my pick of the players. I thought he had a good game, in fairness to him.
I would say you wouldn't have seen the MUTV interview. He says, I was worried about him starting on Tuesday and his fitness. He says he's only trained twice this season, since obviously the injury. He's only been 2 days, so he's actually played as much as he's trained. So I thought, to put that level of performance in, I mean, we knock him enough times, but 2 days training. But it also made you think, is Ollie not trusting Tellez? Because if you're putting a player in, you know, like... So it goes, the Donny thing is ongoing. Coggy, do you think I'm being too easy on Ollie for keep saying, you know, let's calm it down a bit?
No, I think when we look at the important thing was for us not to lose. You know, and I think anybody, any one of us in that position would have said, after Leipzig, we must ensure that we don't lose against City. And he did that. He set his stall out not to lose. He achieved it. And in retrospect, it's a good point, because if you look at what Chelsea losing, Liverpool dropping, Tottenham dropping points, it's not a bad point from yesterday. So I don't blame him. I think he may well be a bit of self-preservation, but I think what he did yesterday was give the team a bit of confidence to say, we can actually be better when we need to. I thought Maguire put himself on the line a bit more than what he has done in the past, and, you know, with a few blocks like than that. So I actually think that Ollie did the right thing yesterday. As frustrating as it was, he probably did the right thing from a confidence point of view for the team.
Doesn't it annoy you?
The one thing that stood out more than anything for me, and I moan about this all the time, is how shit was out passing. I mean, you know, this was against a team that didn't particularly press us, didn't harry or harass, and their passing was shit. Maguire's passing was shit at times, Fred, you know, even Bruno. And until we improve on that, and, you know, we aren't going to win titles or anything like that.
I'm very old school, like most, I think. Well, Nick might disagree with this, but that playing out the back makes me want to wear two pairs of pants, because we're just not up to it. And it's almost like you always see the pressure. And we did it better yesterday, even though we'd give the third ball away, than we usually do. But it almost annoys me that, you know, Maguire, that's the Maguire that I've wanted and I like, but you can't switch it on and off like that at United. You can't be, you know, like, this is the game I get my head together. You should have had your head together 10 games ago. And it's almost like, it makes me annoyed seeing a good performance, because it's like, well, why are you letting the bad ones in, you know?
But do you think in part it's due to changing the formation constantly, changing the team constantly? I mean, I don't know. Have we had two teams, two consecutive games with the same team?
Earlier we did. I think you did earlier.
He is constantly changing things about, and that can't help. I wouldn't think that helps at all.
Were you wound up with the Maguire hugging at the end, Coggy? Your 70s, right?
You know something. We all know back in the day, and I'm talking even to the 90s there, that after the game, they'd be drinking in the bar together. Maybe not Arsenal and United players, but they'd all be in the players' lounge drinking and chatting away. It doesn't bother me. You know, Pele and Bobby Moore walked off the pitch, you know, arm in arm, in fact, stripped to their shorts back in 1970. It's been happening for decades. So, you know, people moaning about that. But, you know, just let's worry about the more important things than somebody giving a hug after a bloody match. I mean, Stones and Maguire probably know each other from kids.
Yeah.
One's from Barnsley, one's from Sheffield.
Yeah.
They probably played football together from the age of 6, 7 onwards. So
I'm more annoyed when we've put this in the mag, but when they cover their mouths as if they're going to fucking talk something of world importance, you know, fuck me, you're talking to John Stones as if anyone gives a shit what they're trying to decipher at what you're saying. Nick?
I agree with Foggy. It doesn't really bother me. You know, I think someone mentioned earlier about George Best, and some of them were good mates, weren't they, and stuff, you know, yeah. Shot with him and all that. So it doesn't bother me anything like that. Like you say, you know, they've grown up together. You get mates from going away to World Cups, and you've got to spend a month with them and stuff like that, haven't you? Or in England's case, maybe about a week, because they get knocked out straight away. So, you know, you get kind of used to knowing these kind of players. But just to go back on what you were saying before, you said about, you know, waiting on a 33-year-old to sort of lead the line and stuff. I mean, we kind of did that with Van Persie. I mean, he was, what, 31, 32 when he was here anyway. I don't see what massively is the difference. If they're good enough, then it shouldn't really be an issue of what their age are. You know, you can still see players like Ronaldo, all right, fair enough, he's in an elite bracket that can prove it wrong.
Just Googles how old Van Persie is.
We just need a natural striker. We need a natural right-sided player. And I don't know how many times we could keep going along and having that discussion.
But he was 29, Van Persie, when we signed him. So, you know, you're talking your peak years. I get that. But what I'm saying is, and I said to Coggy before, you should be building, you know, our scouts should be, if they brief that they're looking at 804 right-backs should be getting the 21-year-old clinical striker that Anthony Martial is never going to be. This is what I want United to do. If you're not going to spend 100 million on Sancho, get the one who's going to be 15 or 20 million now. He's banging in goals wherever it is, and he's going to put those chances away. And
I actually slightly disagree with that, because I think we've got that in Greenwood, right? What I think we need, we've got Cavani, and I agree with you about age is immaterial, provided he produces. I think we need a 25, 26-year-old experience, because what this squad lacks, really, apart from leadership, is some good experience. We've got some great kids coming through, and some youngsters who are still developing.
Yeah.
So I think it's a 25, 26-year-old that we need to be
but,
doing that.
But the thing is, Greenwood... No, that's probably... Yeah, Harry Kane, but we'd all take that, Nick.
Goals going off his shin, he can score a goal from 30 yards, he can score a goal with his head. You know, he's the dream player that you would pick to lead the line. Obviously, we're never going to get him, but... You know, that's
no, but I get that. You need that sort of but Greenwood's not going to be experienced enough for 2 years, say, to handle the pressure. Like yesterday, he didn't have a good game, particularly good game. And what to go to the Ollie inconsistencies, you know that early on. Make the change at half time. Take the initiative a bit more. You know, your subs can be perplexing still. And the Donny thing still, you know, and I will say I criticise him all the time. He's not world class. He's not a good passer. But Fred, again, has had a good period since the madness of the red card, where he offers his drive and the tenacity. You can see why Ollie likes him, even if I am sometimes underwhelmed by him. He's never going to let Ollie down. And that's what he's choosing, McTominay and Fred. I can sort of trust you. You might give the ball away, but you're going to work for me and you're on my side. Shane?
Yeah, I think the Donny thing is odd. He was a pretty big signing, and it's not as though he needs to get used to this level of football. As I said before, he's played for Ajax, and they've been a Champions League side when we weren't, and they've done well. You know, he's had a good run in there. So I think it is a bit odd, and I feel a bit sorry for him, really, but hopefully he'll get more chances. I think, to me, it's a big run now. There's games, you know, was it Sheffield United, Leeds, Everton in the Cup, and they're games that we can win. And Ollie's, this is what he's going to test. It's a bit of a concern for me that, you know, his chopping and changing of players' tactics has been a bit questionable. But he's got to get that right now. We need a decent run through to Christmas.
Yeah, but Shane, it is going to be, you know, they're constantly, and you've got to say fair enough, they're going to be tired, the players. You're asking them to fit in months, the same amount of fixtures in a month or 6 weeks less. There's injuries picking up. They look fatigued, some of them. I think Wan-Bissaka steers between looking knackered and not, or mentally a bit shot. But this season, if you can just dig in, and am I being too... Come on, because you can tell me, am I talking shit? I took a step back a month ago from this because I don't want to be upset over Christmas when we're not seeing everyone, we're not having our drinks, that I don't want United to get to me. But do you think I'm talking shit in this smoker pipe of peace? Man.
No, I'm not letting it, because if I'm honest with you, you know, I'm not going to let football behind closed doors define my mood, but, you know, I want them to do well. But I do think we should be expecting a bit of a run now between now and, and the new year. But it's not, we're not going to, you know, you look at the results today, you know, Liverpool only drew at Fulham, Chelsea.
That's what I mean, it's just...
Palace. It's a time of year when you do get odd results. The games catch up with players. It's not, they're not robots. So I think it's probably unreasonable to expect us to go on some winning streak.
But imagine if you did, Shane.
I think we should. If you did, then bounce the top four.
If you did, you know, if we could just do one of Ollie's runs now. So it's nice to get carried away. But I do think, you know, I think we'd all, if Fergie had this, he'd be fucking licking his lips going, fucking, I've got these lot. You know, Jose must be semi-thinking, I've actually got a chance this season. It's just so bizarre. I will say, I think it all went to pot shit, the world, when Bobby Davro was sat in front of Gianluca Vialli at that game. Was it at Stamford Bridge? It's never been normal since, the world. Right. On later, the odd bit of the sellers do, we talk irrational hatreds. Coggy, you must have a few. Not United players, it's got to be.
I've got to be honest with you. All my all my hatred is rational. I don't do irrational hatred. I have a genuine reason why I hate probably most footballers if they don't play for United. But Frank Lampard, I can't stand the twat.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, because he comes over as a decent bloke. He's a decent footballer, but I just can't stand him.
Your listeners will only get this at the end, but I've had nightmares about Alan Cork's bald head since Friday night, and mentioning it and bringing it all back, how much. Right, Shane, come on, you've got to have a few.
Yeah, I guess three come to mind, and it's going to be a bit obvious. So one is a United player, but it's not for his time at United, but I still begrudge the fact that he played for. So Michael Owen, I can't stand.
Oh, well, that's totally rational.
But that
we all hate that fucker.
The one of Johnson Tacker, I'll never forgive him for. Another Scouser, and it's not because of the Liverpool thing, Demi Hughes. I always found him a bit creepy. He was one of those like 70s. He was a bit like in that ilk of TV celebrities.
Hang on.
Question a sport twat. He really wound me up. Demi Hughes.
Yeah, I bet he was a nasty piece of work. That's what I always thought when I saw him.
At all. And the last one, just naturally come to mind, Jurgen Pontus. It's just for. It's Dennis Bergkamp. And Dennis Bergkamp has got some look about him. You can find in someone in a pub when you're younger that you really liked to get, or you got out with David Gale and he'd go to a, and he would go behind your back and use that against you to get the girl. I've seen that look before. He's got that kind of British tweet like this, and the fella would stitch you up, and I never looked at him.
Not Bergkamp, but I always think those too good to be nice, you know, smarmy, like Lineker, they've always got fucking, their closets are full of skeletons. I always think if they're too nice to be smarmy and that, there's something behind.
In which case, Barney, what about Juan Mata?
No, he's you could definitely leave your cats with Juan. They're not going to end up in the washing machine or anything. I will, there's a couple of other. Can I free transfer one of the things I said to Jimmy's podcast into this podcast? But watching the Maradona tributes, and you watch, you know, that song I tweeted about, but you watch that dressing room where they're all singing about, I couldn't say it on Jimmy's because I didn't want to swear, but they're all singing about, my mother is a whore, we take this into the field. And you could see as soon as I saw it, Napoli and Argentina, you go, they won things, that team. The whole, you know, leaders, animals, you know, born from the streets. And I just thought, fuck me, I want some of that in the United dressing room. We got it in Fernandes, the 2-2 in that video of him, you know, straight away doing the United thing that they should always get the ball back to the halfway line. But it just made me think, oh, they've got this, there's something in an Argentinian culture where they're just, feel that the world's against them, that if you can get a good player, they're fucking better than, you know, most. Nick, am I talking shit? Feel free.
I love Argentinian footballers. You can talk to me all day about them. My irrational player hatred, I didn't actually mention it on the podcast.
How did you?
When we were chatting the other night, but I really hate Ben Foster. And every time he plays against us, every time, he always turns around and he always celebrates purposely to the fans. Maybe that's probably a bit more rationalised, but every single time he's been at Old Trafford, he's been like 3-0 down and he's scored, and he'll turn around and like give it a bit of this to like a case down, and he's always wound me up.
Yeah, but he's
just got a massive chin, and I just think, you prick with your big chin. I'm not a big fan of Ben Foster. So
he probably thinks, you know, I could have had 10 years as a number 2 here, and Fergie just fucked me off because I wasn't interested. He did all right. He won a League Cup for us, watching his iPad. Yeah. Right, I'm going to, a couple of plugs. The Mag, please, is out. Get a beer, Matt, if you can. But more importantly, you might have seen today that, and fair play to the others, we usually sell like dicks in Santa hats. And this year we're actually going to do something because that doesn't involve much. So for Manchester Mind, I'm going to walk 20 kilometres, which if you can imagine me walking anywhere, And the others are going to run, four of them are going to run 10Ks. Now, it was put to me, why don't you run? I look like Rodney out of Only Fools and Horses with William Prunier's head running. So, no, I'll walk it. So if you can support, look, mental health, you've all just got to just keep in there during this if you're suffering, because loads of us have, as you know, I was a month ago, but there's not even a reason why I feel better now. It just happens, you know, it can come and it can go. And you just got to think, be kind to yourself. Seriously, be kind to yourself, because stop putting stuff down on you. So that's why we're doing it. And I hope you can support it. We've already beaten the target. So if we can get a few hundred quid for a good cause, and that is it. Right, Coggy, go on. Take it away.
Can I just say, Barney, I followed you from Bruges Central Station to the hotel. And you can,
no, I can set a good pace. Well, I will say I can set a good pace. I walked 18 kilometres last week to test it, because I didn't want to embarrass myself and say I'll do it and then collapse in a heap. And I couldn't walk for 3 days. So you're safe to say that the on Friday, what my plan is, walk and then back home in time to watch us. Ollie fist pumping. Sheffield United, come on. That's the plan.
You say that, Coggy, but I've seen him walk from Exchange Key to Old Football and dancing when he gets there. So.
Please don't let it rain, though. Please don't let it rain on me. Can you imagine just this downtrodden? I'm going to wear a Santa hat, which we'll probably see someone call the authorities at some point going, what the fuck is this weirdo? Because I haven't even got a route planned. I'm just going to march. March with endeavour and march with things. So, right, Shane?
Yeah, the only time I've seen you walk fast is when we're going to the boozer after a midweek. Yeah.
This isn't a memories of Barney walking. But I will say, Coggy, why I think you need to win in the ballot for Leeds, hopefully, is you were raving at the start of this about effects on your TV and you've got a fireplace on your TV. If ever a man needs to get back into a football ground...
Can I just stress to everybody listening to this podcast, if you've got Sky, get the films of a log fire burning. And when Nick is watching NFL, the Scousers, and whoever, I just put that on and I'm chilled completely.
You know when the Olympics gets all these obscure sports get their nomination to go in it? It's probably Nick's watching it that's got it in.
Yeah.
Watching the opera breakdance, but that's probably why it's got into the Olympics.
Just ridiculous, Nick. But you were really down. You're never down on this, apart from City League Cup, certain moments, Burnley. You were down last week, which surprised me because I thought you'd.
I know. The thing is for me is that I've had a bit of a sudden realization of thinking, you know, we played Chelsea, Arsenal, Spurs, City now at home. We'll have played Leeds next week all on, and I'm thinking, God, we've got to go away to all of these teams in the second half of the season. And I just thought...
Yeah, but away form's good.
What odds do you give Ole last in the season?
Yeah, but we had him sacked 3 weeks ago. We thought he wouldn't last.
But what's the odds of him lasting? Because that is a hell of a run. I mean, you said at the start of this podcast, you know, you're saying that, you know, if you can get us towards winning the league at the moment, but it's like, you know, if we can get us playing ourselves and winning at home, we'd be a hell of a side. We've been saying that for however long, but we just have no sort of will and desire to go and win at home. And we've not seen any signs of it this year. Any game that we've conceded in Old Trafford this year, we've not won.
Well, surely against Leeds. No, and surely against Leeds, who are letting in, you know, basic goals, we are not going to play two defensive midfielders.
This is the game of their lives. It's like, no, I know. What, 15 years to play us at Old Trafford? They're going to be fucking well up.
Yeah, but surely our lot, Nick, with their, you know, with all that they've done, they don't just make up, you know, for last Tuesday with a 0-0 against City. You have to get that run going. Yeah, sorry, Cog.
I think he's got to be like, he's got no choice. We've got to win. We've got to get at least, you know, I'd expect to get 6 points out of the next 2 league games. He's got to get at least 4 points, at least as a minimum, and he's got to go out to win. On Thursday, he's
got
to set us up to win. You can't.
Well, we have to. Shane, I'm not even countering it. If you don't beat a side that's, I can't remember, Sunderland 1 year, but 1 point from 12 games. I mean, whatever they had last year, they've lost it. My only worry is if they sack him this week before we play him and they get fucking Sam Allardyce in or something. But I'm not even counting. We do not win on Thursday. Surely.
We've got to win, and we've got to beat Leeds. Just on what Nick said. I stand by what I said earlier on, you know, a few weeks back, that Woodward is either taking Poch irrespective of the results in January, or he's keeping Ollie, and Ollie will be there till the end of the season, irrespective of the results. You know, I'm not even convinced that losing a few games would get Ollie this back at the moment, so, you know.
Well, I you'll read in the mag that I've nailed my. I think Ollie is asking us to give him 5 months. 5 months, especially with this season and the way United are inconsistent, and we haven't even mentioned, thank God for once, Woodward, you know, until now. If Ollie says, see where we are in May, I think we should give it to him till May, and then say, if he's not, if we haven't made, you know, and we're talking back to the endless Glazer fourth, but if you haven't made their target, then that's it. Good night, Vienna. But, you know, let's see. We are in an indifferent season where we've said he could lose his job. We've said the football has been atrocious, but the football's on. To be 2 points, you know, and I heard sometimes United were never defeated. Someone saying, well, we've got to win that game in hand. It's Burnley away. Come on, United. Start fucking get someone in. And I think, you know, the big point, get, mate, it wouldn't do Ollie any harm to get in a coach now. The best signing in January, if we ain't going to fucking sign a player, get someone in who can motivate them all. And Ollie needs motivating sometimes.
I was thinking this yesterday, actually, how the backroom works, because, you know, obviously he's got McKenna, he's got Carrick, and he's got Phelan. And is there too many people putting the pennies worth in? And should two of them, I mean, I don't know, I mean, he could, you know, it could be just him and Phelan that.
Well, I don't think Phelan's, well, you've said this before, I don't think he's as, I think it's McKenna's his man and then Carrick. But as I keep saying, you know, St George's, the people in coaching are praising Carrick, so we shouldn't all lump them in together. But I don't, there are some days I wake up and think this is doomed and Ollie is so out of his depth. And there are others where I think I can, you know, he's got the better of Pep. Pep is now afraid to do a Pep on Ollie, which must say, am I getting giddy?
He's got, I've always said it, like, he might have not been experienced enough for the Man United job. Once you appoint Ollie, you've got to give him some time. And he definitely deserves at least till the end of this season, if not longer, for me. And yeah, I think.
But surely, Shane.
I think he'd be under pressure for top four. But I said it on the last podcast, I said it before. I'd love to see him win a trophy, and I think. Success breeds success, blah, blah, blah. I know we've had this for the FA Cup a couple of years in the Europa League. We didn't kick on, but I really think the League Cup, I think he missed a trick with the FA Cup last season, as we said, that FA Cup was there to take it. And this League Cup, all right, City are still in it, and Spurs are still in it. But I think, you know, if we could avoid them avoid Spurs in the semi, we can get through Everton. So I hope he doesn't mess too many. I hope.
It brings me out in hives thinking of Fred's free kick at fucking the boot camp. Jesus Christ, that horror. But are we being too kind? Because we're all, you know, sort of defending him. That is not representative of, I know online is not representative of, but are we just balmy? Because not many people are saying what we are, give him till May and...
I mean, you know, you've got the Ollie Ed campaigners who, you know, probably more vociferous than the ones who want him to stay. But, you know, you look at Twitter today and there's loads of Reds giving logical reasons why we should still be sticking with Ollie. You've only got to follow Tim Long.
Yeah, I was going to say not him, God's sake.
Of which some of it is true and others is beyond me. There's big support. There's big support from Ollie, and as it stands at the moment, it doesn't matter what we really think. It's whether Woodward wants Pochettino, and if Woodward wants Pochettino, Ollie goes in January. No two ways.
Yeah, I take.
If he doesn't want Pochettino, Ollie stays until the end of the season.
I did think with that. Is it Tim Long that Boris should appoint him, because he would just have him going, "You're brilliant. Everything you do, Boris, is fantastic."
You know, it reminds me of. Comic Corrali.
Yeah, yeah.
The rap war. Tim Long reminds me.
But at any point, it's like life is, you know, you can say, oh, here's a tweet 8 months ago proving I was right about Ollie after we've won. But you could reverse it, you know, after you get stuffed. Here's a tweet from 7 months ago with me saying Ollie's, it's just, but I don't know. I can't take at the moment how I'm better in myself is by taking a step back. And obviously yesterday was, come on with our chances, you know, the Maguire header. But I'm not letting it going to get to me for the next few months. And certainly this season is like a surreal, you know. And I did, part of me selfishly thought, did I want us to win the European Cup when we're not there?
Yeah.
To see it, that's a bit selfish. That's not right. I shouldn't be thinking that way. But yeah, I did think that way. Shane's got the rooms, but right, Nick, come on.
I haven't booked it yet.
Oh, bloody hell, Shane.
I
that could be the kiss of death.
Nice little apartment.
All right, I'll have a little piece of floor over over by the bathroom.
I'll book a dance in a week. I will book it. I think just the fact that I'm not even allowed to go to the pub around here, I'm kind of like, it just seems so far off. But I think, yeah, I'm optimistic that we'll be somewhere next spring or summer, whether it's United or somewhere else, we'll be on a beach.
I hope we're anywhere, Shane. I would take anywhere. Yeah, it means being someone.
Christmas Eve, we're talking about going for a walk in the woods with some cans. It's like, for fuck's sake, what's the bell function?
What are you watching, Shane?
NFL.
Oh, okay.
I see there's a reflection on behind you, Shane. You're lucky it's NFL, isn't it? That could be embarrassing. There's a mirror reflection above you.
That looks like that woman. That looks like Gail Platt. That's
not the one. Yes. That doesn't look like any sport I've seen, Shane. Oh, he's turning the camera as if to prove himself. Right, come on, Nick. I want a boost. Everyone will be listening to this. Well, the few people that do. And to Barry and Rob, thanks for your support. Everyone who's supporting the mag. Come on, Nick. Hit us with some Christmas
positivity. Oomph. I think if we can pick up a win against Leeds, and obviously that's going to massively start something. I'm still really confident in the League Cup for the Everton game. I've been massively impressed by Scott McTominay over these last two games. I thought he played quite well. And yesterday, I thought he was excellent as well. I know someone mentioned Luke Shaw's performance was great yesterday, which is quite a surprise because he did actually play quite well. But I wanted to give a bit of a shout out to Scott McTominay. I thought he has played pretty well recently, and I think that's a nice little positive that he started to nail down that spot in Ole's team. I think the only negative with it is that Ole doesn't know his best team or his best formation, and that's why he keeps changing it every week. But I think for him, it's great that no matter the formation or the team, he seems to find himself in there as the new sort of little Darren Fletcher role.
Well, I'd rather have him than Matic, and then you see where we are. But we've said it before, Barcelona at home the other year, he can put in a big game performance. Maybe the thing with Luke Shaw only training 2 days is never train Luke Shaw, just put him into a game. That might have consequences for his weight if he doesn't do any training.
He was pretty shit against Leipzig, though, wasn't he?
I've got another question for Coggy and Shane that comes into the Christmas bit. Is which Premier League manager would you least like to spend Christmas Day with and why?
Oh, crikey.
Why?
He's a twat. No, but can you imagine Klopp, if he gets the Christmas present he wants, he'd be fucking ecstatic and an all-Albion slobber in the lot. If he doesn't get the Christmas present, doesn't like it, can you imagine him moan?
I don't think I could tolerate the... Is it Sean Dyche?
I choose him as well. There's some weird... I mean, sometimes I'm so detached from it. I don't even know who half the managers are. I don't even know who they are.
Actually, talking about irrational dislikes, I want Arteta sacked, not for any reason. I find his eyebrows so disturbing that I just want him out of the I want him off my screen and this kind of stuff. I don't want to be faced with those.
I wish that Sam Allardyce was, because he'd be the Christmas party, just be supping gravy by the bucket, just sat at the table, I don't want any more potatoes, just give me the fucking gravy. Right, so we're going to do a Nick quiz, he's going to do it on his own, and then you two can actually answer this. I got 7 out of 10, so I'm well happy with that, and that he did for us what the sellers do, and then we're going to play the shambles a bit of the sellers thing. So final thoughts, lads, for... listeners for Christmas, you got anything to say? And also, United at Christmas and you at Christmas. Shane?
Merry
Christmas
to everyone. I'm sulking because we're in tier three. It looks like we're staying there, so I'm just going to drink cans in a park somewhere on Christmas Eve. I reckon my optimistic prediction is on the United front is if we win these next two league games, we go on a bit of a run. I think we play Liverpool mid-January, and we'll be there or thereabouts. Playing that game against them, we'll be in winter distance of the Scousers. So that's my voice of hope.
Right. Come on. And you've had a few vinos today, so.
Yeah, that is vino-induced.
That we'll be downcast. We'll be having to do a fucking Ollie's going to be sacked in a couple of days. Urgent update. Coggy?
Just before I say this, I just want to remind a couple of your listeners, Amy and Ed, to tell me the truth about Holly Willoughby.
Oh.
Yeah. They know what I mean.
I think it's perked up a lot of people's interest.
The truth about Holly Willoughby. Yeah, I mean, listen, Shane, if we're there or thereabouts when we play Liverpool, I'll buy you a case of wine. Not a bottle, but a case of wine.
We got half a bottle of wine, didn't we? Apart until Leipzig, then it was a right kick in the bollocks. I was thinking, we're counting days, we're winning again. We keep winning. Come on, Coggy, I'll give you my address.
We've just got to win the next few games. I mean, I'd rather have a good run in the league. The League Cup's important, but I want us to win our next three or four.
We have to. We have to. We have to do two.
We just got to.
We have to do two. I mean, I just can't countenance it. Nick? That's my word of the day, countenance. That's good, isn't it? Does it mean what I think it means? I'll just put it randomly in. Go on, Nick. One last time before Christmas. Hit me with your rhythm stick. Go on, Nick. Sorry.
I would say definitely buy the mag, support the mag. The last couple have been great. And definitely the charity as well, don't forget.
You're running.
Okay. Not that I've not spoken about it, but it's all uphill. It's not downhill, it's not flat. It's all uphill, running home from work. So I'm not looking forward to that, especially when it's like 3 degrees outside.
Round of applause.
Hopefully, I know you're saying you're staying in tier three, Shane, but I'm hoping that Manchester might just notch into tier two later this week and I might get a little ticket for Leeds on Sunday. That'd be quite nice because I really am missing Old Trafford now. I think one of the other good points as well, we didn't mention, we've not spoken about, obviously falling into the Europa League, but I think on a positive, we're going to get to see a bit more of Dean Henderson. I'm hoping he's going to start in that campaign and we find a little bit more out about him. And obviously we're getting this Diallo that's coming in January, subject to his work permit or whatever. So there's a few players in the squad like that and obviously Donny's going to get a bit more of a run out. We're going to find out a little bit more about the team that hopefully starts putting pressure and starts making only make a few decisions about a few players in the squad that he should have shipped out, you know, this summer if he could have done if it wasn't a pandemic and stuff like that. So there's still a little bit to do with that squad, but it's still the future bright because it's still quite young.
But there's always hope at Manchester United. That's what I always cling on to. We've gone always through worse, and I would say that if you've got a bit of hope, then you can just carry it on and see where we end up. But we're going to do a year podcast. Maybe afterwards, but for now we're packing up until, if anything, unless a shitstorm. How would you describe your running style, though, Nick? If you could,
it's not like Paula Radcliffe.
hope it isn't in an Athens street.
To go for a number two on the way home because it's just down Bury Old Road. So
we won't be putting that in any updates.
There's plenty of places there.
I do a bit of running. Anyway, but I was in the gym last week and there was a young lad and he's obviously into athletics. He was, you know, the walkers, you know, when they race and walk. And he was doing this funny style on the old treadmill and I was on the treadmill next door and I was just about make out his speed. And he was walking faster than I can run. That was the ultimate humiliation for me.
There's one final I've forgotten. Look, from this, I was going through old books, the 1968, 1969 official Manchester United Supporters Club official handbook. Someone had written a story called A Very Unusual Story. I'll cut it quickly. But during my many years as a United supporter, I've had some rather amusing times. This is in writing in 1968. I remember a story travelling by lorry from London, pre-Munich, this is, to see the game. After a rather uninspiring journey, we arrived in Manchester to meet, and we arranged to meet at 7 o'clock for the return journey after the game. Then he basically lies because he says, I got distracted in the pub and didn't realise the time. Obviously, he's got shit-faced and forgot So when he got there 20 minutes too late. They'd gone. So he started, not knowing anyone, walking 200 miles home. He says, so I had no money. It was not an enviable situation. I realised that the only thing I could then try and do is thumb a lift. Luckily, I got a lift almost immediately, but to my dismay, he was only going a few miles. So, the time was now approaching 9, so I started to walk again back to London. There was no motorway in these days, but I thought I knew the route very well. How? He says, I walked and I walked. It was pitch black and I wasn't dressed for the climate. I glanced at my watch and suddenly realised it was 2:45 in the morning. He puts, heavens above. Then he goes, I had been walking for six hours. No mind of mine, my feet felt as if they were dropping off. Now, I've never believed in ghost stories, but when you're alone on a cold, windy night in the middle of nowhere, this is when I start to wonder. I had absolutely no idea where I was, and in the freezing cold, I passed a sign that suddenly said, 167 miles to go. I'd only made it 33. So then something caught my eye. It was about 10 foot high. My heart stood still. What was it? This disbelief in ghost stories, but I kept walking towards it. This was right in front of me. Then suddenly it became obvious what it was. It was a signpost. All that was there was a piece of wood, but it said that a village was a few miles away. I got there and there was a police station. I made straight there. And the night sergeant was extremely kind, obviously felt guilty or thought, what a twat, and offered me tea and toast, and he said I could sleep on the police sofa for the night. 8 o'clock, the sergeant woke me and said that he had arranged a lift to London, and that's what I did the next day. And then it says, that is indeed one weekend I shall never forget. But you know what? I read that, and I thought, fucking hell, mate. You shouldn't have had that extra pint. But I did think, United, Goggy, but the United are so great that we've had fans doing daft things, even then, pre, you know, the Babes, in the 50s, doing absolutely batshit crazy stuff. Glory, glory, Man United. That story filled me with glee.
Can I just tell you a quick story? My old man got conscripted into the army in 1948, based in Colchester. United, I don't know whether it was 48 or 49 did this, United were playing at Arsenal. He wanted to go and watch them. So he pinched the police boat, well, he pinched the army motorbike to go down to Ivory to watch United. He was that worried about getting caught when he come back that he sold the motorbike to the butcher in the town who then refrayed it.
See,
you never got caught.
That is what United makes us do daft things, and may they always do it. So everyone, cheers, lads. I hope you all have a happy Christmas in front of your TV log fire, Coggy. Thanks for everything you've done, and everyone listening, look, it's going to be unusual. Just try and have the best time. Be kind to yourself. Happy Christmas, everyone, and we'll see you before the new year. Cheers, lads. Right, Nick, quiz. Cheers, lads.
Hi guys, as promised from Barney, I've done a nice chirpy quiz. I know there was a few that went around when it was back through lockdown. Some enjoyed, some not so much. But I've done 10 quick questions. I thought it was a nice chirpy week after we got knocked out to Leipzig, which got me thinking about some of our famous European exits throughout the course of our history. So it's a nice chirpy quiz for you today on a Monday. What I'll do is I'll read the questions out. If you want to pause them in between, and then I'll give you the answers to each one of them at the end. So here we go, 10 questions. Number one, United exited the competition in the 2004-2005 season to AC Milan with 2-1-0 losses. But which player scored the goal in each game to send United packing? Number two, United entered their maiden campaign in everybody's favourite, the Europa League. They crashed out to Atletico Bilbao, losing 5-3 on aggregate. But which United player scored all three goals across both legs? Number three, which team knocked United out of their inaugural European campaign in the 56-57 season? Number four, Peter Schmeichel scored his only goal for United whilst they got knocked out to which side? Number five, who were the first team to knock United out of the Champions League? So not the European Cup, the Champions League. Number six, in Fergie's last Champions League campaign, they were knocked out to Real Madrid after Nani was sent off. But what round of the competition was it? Number 7. After United went through to the quarterfinals against Red Star Belgrade in 1958, which team defeated them in the semi-finals after the Munich Air disaster? Number 8. United first competed in the UEFA Cup in the 76-77 season, but which team knocked them out in just the second round? Number 9. Who is the only English team to knock United out of a European competition? And number 10. Who was the last non-Spanish team to knock United out of the Champions League knockout stages? So, if you want to go back and pause them or whatever, I'll go through the answers now. So number 1, United exited the competition in the 2004-2005 season to AC Milan with 2-1-0 losses. Which player scored a goal in each game to send United packing? It was Hernan Crespo, the Argentinian. Number 2, United entered the maiden campaign in the Europa League and they crashed out to Athletic Bilbao 5-3 on aggregate. Which United player scored all three goals? It was Wayne Rooney. Which team, number 3, which team knocked United out of their inaugural European Cup campaign in the 56-57 season? It was Real Madrid. Number 4, Schmeichel scored his only goal for United when they got knocked out to which side? It was Rota Volgograd, the Russian team. Number 5, who were the first team to knock United out of the Champions League? Again, not the European Cup, the Champions League. It was Galatasaray. Welcome to hell. Number 6, in Fergie's last Champions League game, they were knocked out to Real Madrid after Nani was sent off. But what round of the competition was it? It was the round of 16. Number 7, after United went through in the quarterfinals against Red Star Belgrade in 58, which team defeated them in the semi-finals after the Munich Air disaster? And that was AC Milan. Number 8, United first competed in the UEFA Cup in the 76-77 season. Which team knocked them out in just the second round? It was Juventus. Number 9, who is the only English team to knock United out of a European competition? Played a few down the years. I think Spurs and Everton have been played. Obviously played Arsenal and Chelsea down the years. But the only team to knock us out is them bastards up the M62. It was Liverpool in the Europa League under Van Gaal. Number 10. Who was the last non-Spanish team to knock United out of the Champions League group stages? So Barcelona and Seville, I think, were the most two recent off memory. It was Bayern Munich. David Moyes and the Evra volley went out that night. What a cracking night that was in Europe for those that went. That's it. That's all the 10 questions. Hope you enjoyed it. Feedback always appreciated. If you want to see more of them, or if you just want me to piss off completely, I'm happy to do either. So let me know. Cheers, guys. Speak to you soon.
Yeah, can I get another beer before you start?
Well, we've started, so you can keep going. It doesn't matter. You make noises anyway. The other time you were on, the last time you were on, right. Sorry, every time you went for a cigarette, you kept squeaking the doors. You'd shuffle like an old man. And you make so many noises.
I don't give a fuck.
So get a beer. It's not a specific. It's going to be tagged on at the end of a podcast where we've probably lost to someone, and we're all going to be doom and gloom. So this is not no doom, no gloom. This is a happiness for Christmas. So are we all right? Oh, actually, I say that now. Mark's just about to join, and I bet the first thing he says is offensive. I bet he grump. I bet he makes something insulting. Hello, Mark. Sort your audio out. You right?
Hello.
Hello, Mark. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Right. So this.
What's that jumper, Mark? Have you got a Christmas jumper on?
What's that? He's actually got
like
Christmas.
Elf, Mark.
Right, we're doing a quick podcast, Mark. So this is the Sellers podcast, and we're having a drink, and then I'm doing a game, which it's an escape room, which none of them want to do, but I'm stubbornly persisting with, to which Mark has already called me ball bag sackhead earlier because he doesn't want to do it. So, right. I am joined by Nathan, Steve, Ben, Mark, Nick, and the long-awaited return of the miserable bastard John, who was last seen at Fulham when we were at Ollie's at the Wheel and well happy. Now, I'm going to ask you, which Premier League manager would you least like to spend Christmas Day with? Nathan.
Why me first?
Because you've got the Aurora Borealis, whatever, behind you.
I know. Pep.
Why?
Because it'd be fucking, I don't know, it'd be like nut roast and fucking...
Sounds like going to John.
Yeah, it'd be like nut roast and like fucking vegan stuffed peppers. And they'd be like hors d'oeuvres of like fucking anchovies and like just like... I just like pepper, just want a Guinness, mate. Can I have a Guinness, please, and just leave me alone. So like talk to like Auntie Rita and just sneak a Baileys or something. And he'd be like, no, you can have a canopy of fucking anchovies and salmon.
No way
and he'd be like, no, I don't want that.
He'd not want anyone having more than two drinks, would he? It would be like really scorned you there, just cabbaged in a corner. He would,
yeah, and he'd get like new fucking cardigans. Have you seen any cardigans for Christmas? I'm like, now you look like a cunt. And then he'd ask me to leave, and I'd go, yeah, fine. Okay. And I'd go to Sean Dyche's house where it'd be like,
well, no,
fucking granny on Stella.
Steve Bruce's, I reckon it'd be a good night round Steve Bruce's, wouldn't it?
Bruce's would be all right. Mine was, I wouldn't want to be man Sean Dyche's because he'd have a 1950s cardigan, and he would be literally, you've spilt a peanut. Go against the wall, stand there for 10 minutes, nothing happens. And then imagine if you're talking and the Queen's speech is on, it would literally, you'd get the belt out and start whacking you. The Queen is speaking! And he wouldn't have any sort of shit. You couldn't have fun at Sean Dyche's. Right, John?
Wow, that's a bit perverted, that. Yeah, if I'm honest.
No, I just fella, imagine it. Well, I do imagine him in proper, like, 1950s underpants and just walking around the house going...
Oh, so you think of Sean Dyche in 50s underpants?
Right, go on, John.
Whipping you. Underpants in general.
John?
Who's the guy at Brighton? Potter. Is it Potter?
How can you nominate someone you don't even know?
He worries me. I've seen his face is bad enough. But just, that would be a dour Christmas. At least Pep would give you something to eat and two beers. You'd get fuck all there. I imagine it's water and bread.
Wait, hang on, you can talk. You're having a German Christmas this year, so you're slagging off someone for not playing by the rules, and you're not even serving turkey this year.
Because you didn't say playing by the rules.
You
but
like
the
being
food
continental
and alcohol
and choosing a different country every year.
Well,
oh
like
my!
Brendan
God.
Rodgers, yeah. If you went round to his house, he'd start fucking telling you like, oh, where he got, where the fucking turkey was bred from, and like where he's farmed his ham from.
Yeah.
Fuck off, Brendan. I don't care. Just feed me.
There'd be a shitload of drugs. There'd be a shitload of drugs.
Inappropriate dad jokes.
Rogers would keep showing his photo of him everywhere you went. It would follow his eyes. Nick?
His house would be like that episode of Alan Partridge where there's just loads of pictures of him around
himself, yeah.
I'd definitely pick Brendan Rodgers, definitely. He'd be sat there telling you about all the players that he's had that have made a great character all the way through it, wouldn't he? He'd be like, oh, yeah, we nearly won the league with Liverpool. I don't think I could sit there and listen to a word he's got to say.
I do think, I'd imagine Woodward would have potpourri everywhere. It would be like, you'd have it in the entrance, in the toilet. It would be a lot of porcelain, and I don't mean the toilet, and it would be a lot of like towie inspired whiteness. There wouldn't be any dirt visible, and it would just be potpourri everywhere. Smelling of, it always gives me the creeps, potpourri. Mark?
I haven't got a clue. Who's got thought this through? LVG is a boring cunt.
Mark, the last time you were on a podcast, you were, if I've not mistaken, it was minus 25 outside, and you and Nick were in a subsidised heat swimming pool area talking shit off your heads. So the year since then, Mark, has been a bit shit. You're supposed to speak then, Mark.
How's your life been since
I'm about as far
Kazakhstan.
Behind as Nathan watching football with this fucking stupid Zoom then.
Are you just going to save your anger? So you're looking forward to the escape room then, Mark?
No, not really.
I've paid £7.18
for this
experience.
I don't know what
experience.
You've done it for.
I don't know why I've done it.
You've paid that much.
£7.18. And I
told us it was a tenner.
Well, yeah, but I have to exaggerate, don't I?
That tells us a lot about you, man.
So well, let's cut to the chase. If we're going to mention it near the end of the year, the one last time, we've got City tomorrow. This will probably be afterwards. Last time we were all there was City. So we all put it to a vote, didn't we?
You say we.
Well, this is it. It'll be the last mention we ever make. But we put it to a vote whose fault it was. And the options were Nick went into the ground with my season ticket and then didn't answer his phone when I was ringing him. So was it Nick's fault? Was it my fault? Was it Nick and Barney's fault? Or was it just one of those things? And you all voted that it was Nick's fault. So, Nick, now
excuse me. I did. I said it was 50-50.
Did you?
I did then subsequently change my mind, but...
Do you feel any guilt that I missed the last game at Old Trafford? 9 months on? Christmas spirit and all that, Nick?
No, I sent you the terms and conditions of the Man United season ticket holders, and it says... Each ticket holder is responsible for their own ticket. Even Sam Keller's on my side. Me and Sam were best mates.
You deprived.
To be fair, Barney would have fucked off outside and missed the goal anyway.
Well, yeah,
That's true.
I've never mentioned that before, but I wouldn't actually be.
End of defence.
Or he would have just sent Nathan outside to miss the goal.
Yeah, Nathan. The shame is, for all these games for Watford at home, I haven't been able to send a text saying, do you mind selling, Nathan? This void of fucking nothingness. So what's your high and low point, United-wise, of the year? I'm going to get a Guinness. Go on.
Who's he asking that question
all
to?
All of you.
I know.
Well, I think the high point would be the derby, wouldn't it, that you just missed. Can't really think of too many others, really. But, you know, McTominay's goal at the end of the derby, it would be the high point. The low point, being knocked out of Europe twice in 1 year.
Look how I pulled this.
Yeah, in the space of 3 or 4 months.
I've
enjoyed going behind in the recent away games and coming back and winning. That's nice. I've won a few quid as well back in United when they go 1-0. As well.
Are you looking
we can't complain about the games not being entertaining most of the time, can we? That's, you know, we've definitely watched more boring football over the last few years than at the moment. But
yeah,
it doesn't always go the way we want to go, but at least it's entertaining, even if it's painful at the same time.
I've spilt Guinness on my laptop. This is not a good start, is it? I would say I made this point, and I'm keeping with it, that I'm not going to get as bothered until we're back now, because I'm not going to let the results affect me like I did the other week. And it's pointless, isn't it? We're not there. It doesn't matter until we're back. That's the way I'm looking at it. And it has been more fun under Ollie, but I did look at him today and I thought he does look, it batters you, United, doesn't it? It just, but the high points for me, obviously City even not being there, and Bruno's goal against Brighton, Buzz, Cavani against Southampton was the most fun lockdown. But it's shit, isn't it? It's just shit. Mm. Not have Steve breathing heavily and taking all my leg space. I miss the simple things. I don't even miss big things, but like Steve's legs always barge into me during the game. He always tries to get more space.
Yours barge into me.
Yeah, but yours are big and fat, and mine are long and spindly.
Well, no one has fat legs. I ain't got fat legs, have I?
But I miss just the simple things like that. John turning up for a big game. Sorry, I've got my Guinness now. I'm all right.
Okay. See, I think for me, it's the having to feign excitement at some of the games when I've got the boy giddy as hell about it. And it's like, who's going to win? Are we going to do this? Is he going to score? And the fact he loves Tony Martial. In reality, I'm thinking, I couldn't give a fuck. I'm honestly not arsed. All right, Southampton was great, and having a balloon on the front room with the kids is fantastic. But yeah, for the most part, it's not real. This isn't real football. It's just like, you might as well be playing FIFA at the moment.
Yeah, but they've got to play. You can't, as I always say, you can't.
Oh yeah, I don't want to engage with it.
Yeah, yeah. But people have. I mean, the arguing I saw the other day, just like if you say you're Ollie in, I'm going to unfollow you. And I just thought, that's a normal, you know, that's a good lad usually, but people are losing their shit over this. And there's enough.
What if you say
two years ago, everyone was like, oh, we just want to be entertained. So now we're being entertained. And people are moaning that we're not winning the like winning everything. It's like, what do you sort of expect from this team? A lot of the play, like, all right, Ollie's not the tactical genius we sort of want. We know that. We know what we're getting. But ultimately, a lot of these players need to have a look at themselves. Harry Maguire, when he played for Sheffield United and when he went to Hull, he used to command the back four at a very young age. He used to smash into tackles. He used to carry the ball out. He used to play football. Now he just looks like a fucking shell of a man. And it's not just him. That whole back four just look fucking timid. Do you know what? It is partially Ollie's job to motivate him, but a lot of the players need to fucking step up. Like Roy Keane said, they chucked a few managers under the bus now.
But what worries me is that a lot, and this is not just since Ollie came in, but a lot of players, they come to United and they go backwards, don't they?
Yeah.
They look like good players. Apart from Fernandes, he's the only one you can really think of who's come in and actually got better while he's been here.
Yeah.
Well, seems to have done so many of them.
Not been like where you expect him to be. He's the only one that you thought, oh, he's going to be all right, and he's mint. There's a couple who've come in and gone, yeah, they're pretty much where you need to be. And the others are the kids. You look at Rashford and Greenwood, who we buzz off. But there's no expectation there. If they turned out to be shite, it's like, well, you've not lost anything, which it might be to their benefit. That they're the lucky ones that no one really is going to kick off if they turn out to be wank, which is the odd thing about why we all hate Lingard. Because, you know, it's not his fault, it's wank.
Yeah, but it's not.
And he's not done anything. It cost us nothing. And other than his stupid branding and everything else, he doesn't actually do anything wrong.
You telling me you take offence to him being an American pistachio nuts ambassador? I'm not joking.
Is
he actually is.
Is that real?
He is. Google it. Jesse Lingard is an American pistachio nuts ambassador. Didn't you see the photo of him cheesily placed pistachio nuts around a turkey? And it was almost like...
I noticed that the other day.
He'd almost like he was fucking having a falling down moment. Like they'd asked him, you know, pose with a pistachio nut bowl and a turkey, and he just thought, fuck it. I'm trampling this turkey with pistachio nuts. But Nathan's... Fernandes,
he's got nothing else to do, has he? Nice.
Fernandes,
yeah, exactly. I like pistachio nuts, and they're expensive. So if you're going to get free ones...
I wouldn't surprise... I bet you've had pistachio nut soup and things, John. And you've said...
Pistachio ice cream is nice.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of my favourites.
Right, is one. But
what is your favourite ice cream, John?
Strawberry raspberry.
Pistachio's up there. Really? I like rum and raisin.
Yeah.
Why can't you just like rum and raisin?
Yes, you bastard.
Why can't you just say rum?
And chocolate.
Oh, good. At last. Nathan made the point, though. Fernandes could fuck off, which is another thing. And the one constant has been, and it bores me, so it must bore the listeners, when I mention Martial to see Nick's face, it's like, how can one man who's wearing a fucking Tampa Bay Buccaneers T-shirt have such anger? You do, though, Nick. Let it
but it's
go.
Anger towards the wrong Frenchman.
Let it go.
No, you know, it's not anger to the wrong Frenchman. You've got to be angry to both Frenchmen, you know. And it's not the fact that they're French. I have no problem with the French.
He's getting
you know?
So worked up already. It's Christmas. Come on. Peace to
I wish it wasn't for his Cantona jumper in a minute.
Peace
no,
to
they're,
all mankind.
They're both.
Right, we're supposed to be having fun.
My Cantona jumper.
Right, irrational hatreds. I'm going David Speedy, Robert Fleck, and Alan Cork, Wimbledon, Sheffield United. I absolutely hated them every time we played.
What was irrational about it, though? Because like John said, when you asked us this question, there's lots of players I hate, but I think it's rational in almost every case.
Well, yeah. All right. But against the norm, John chose half our squad. So.
Well, yeah, and I agree with him on that as well.
I meant opponents. But I mean, like, against the norm that people would go, I'd say, I hate Alan Cook. I hated him appearing against us. He just had a bald head. It was probably fucking Christmas future past coming to visit that he showed me what I'd look like. But I fucking hated him. And I couldn't explain it. He was just an annoying twat. It was maybe because he was a professional footballer and not good. I don't know. Steve, come on.
What, and you thought you could be a professional footballer?
Footballer?
There
this
was
just
about
football,
a year
like
when I was
Ben
eight,
said, it's just, I hate footballers for a reason, because they got fucking more money than me most of the time. But I fucking hate Liesl McKimbo off Newsround. Fucking hate him. I hate Alan MacArthur. Jenny Powell, who used to present the Wheel of Fortune.
Why'd you say Jenny Powell? Other than a stupid voice.
Man, smug bastard.
Amanda Holden.
Dawson.
He's a twat.
Ben Shepherd. Is it Ben Shepherd?
Ben Shepherd.
Yeah.
And what's that Scouser who did Match of the Day with his 5 tattoo?
Oh, Simon Rimmer.
No,
yeah.
He's
a ball bag.
The Northern Irish one, the Scouser.
Oh, Kilty, Patrick Kilty.
No. He's the guy who will lend his hand to any fucking store and pretend while he's doing it that he gives a shit.
Colin Murray.
That's him.
Doing a fuck about everyone. Do you like anyone, Steve?
Do I like anyone?
Yeah.
Not six really. People on here.
Not really. I'm only here because Barney paid for my beers.
I sent them all beers, which I thought was the nicest thing I've done all year.
It was lovely.
It was nice.
I'm disappointed that Wazza on this Zoom isn't in his hot tub at the moment.
I'm just about...
Not that I want to see him in his hot tub, but I'm just a bit disappointed that he's not...
That's exactly what you want to see, Nathan.
When you asked him how his year's been before, he's like, I bet you're thinking, fucking got a massive fucking hot tub in my garden that I sit in every day. He didn't give a fuck, does he? Don't have to go out on KFC or still open. KFC or on Uber Eats, they'll take it to his house so he can drink gravy and eat hot wings in his...
That's Sam Allardyce, isn't it? Just drinking gravy.
I've got a confession to make about KFC gravy. So when we went into lockdown, I went and when I got some KFC, I ordered some extra tubs of gravy and put them in the freezer. Oh. So I didn't run out of KFC gravy.
That was nowhere near as bad as I thought it was going to be.
There could be other things in your freezer, Steve. Definitely. The KFC gravy's over something else in your freezer, isn't it? what are you going to do the first game back? I mean proper back, not Leeds 2000.
Probably not go in and just stay up a while there.
Can you sell those things? And turn up.
Leave early to get the train.
I can't wait. It will be immense.
I'm going to be absolutely smashed at kickoff, and I think that most of the ground is going to be as well, aren't they?
No change there, Ben. Really.
Those first few games are just going to be
a blur. Can you imagine?
When's John's first game going to be? Is that like 2027 or something?
Wait, left to be the
none of this is any different for John, is it?
It's the fact I can't go, not whether I would be there. Here's a question. Yeah. How many games do you think it'll take before we all just go back to moaning about being at the game?
People are moaning. They want the manager out and they're not even there.
No, but he means about the match day, about the match day experience.
And he's full of this. He's full of that.
I could be Tel Aviv on a Thursday night at Springsteen.
You and Mark first game. You two will be like, fucking, what the fuck are we doing? Fuck all this, fuck it.
Do you think United are getting details from the NHS of who's having the vaccine? And as soon as you've had the vaccine, they'll be taking money out of your account for the Europa League.
We're putting money in my account, to be honest. I get a text message every so often, like, because you can't go to these games, I've credited the account back.
I don't think I've still had it. I've not had the last four games from last season back yet. Has anyone else?
No, they've signed
it, so they just took it off.
But Steve, you're one of the daft bastards who paid for a season that you'll never actually see. So you've given United money to actually just save it, invest it. So the Glazers have said thank you.
Yeah, but you know my dad, Barney. He does it the first fucking day, doesn't he? Despite him saying every year for the past 25 years, I'm not going next season. He was 67 yesterday, and now he's made up because he gets it half price.
Yeah, now's not the time to stop going, is it?
Yeah, but because they've been hacked, someone else has been trying that, and United haven't got the systems up to answer, and they're fuming. That'll be the thing you'll never get through to United again to change anything. They just keep taking money out. Have any of you had an awakening about United that you could, bin it, taking it too much.
What's that?
Well, we could, you know.
What's that mean?
No, I don't. That you've reached a point that you can't be arsed anymore with it.
No, Barney, I'm dying to get out of the house. Yeah, like me and Steve in the same boat, aren't we? We were stuck in the house with a toddler and a baby every single day. I mean,
mate, that's why I'm absolutely made up to go to work. I went in.
What, is there anything you're not missing, though? Is there anything you're not missing? Apart from me, go on.
Thursday nights in the Europa League.
Yeah, but if
finishing work.
In fact, go on, Steve.
Sorry. Finishing work after an absolute fucking swat of a day to drive over to come and watch United against a fucking team I can't pronounce.
I find any midweek games I've heard these days.
If we get to Gdansk, we'll be as giddy as fuck. Can you imagine first game back? That's my dream of it. It just feels surreal as all this happened. Since Nick wandered off in the distance, it all seemed surreal at that point. Nick, you're looking very defeated there.
You're tired, Nick.
I'm just tired of Barney's statements that he's been giving me for 9 months of guilt.
I'm going to let him go. That's the thing, the resolution. I will never, well, no, I will mention it again, but I will try and mention it less. Right, so we've covered Christmases with people you were more.
What are you doing with your hands?
I don't know, like expressions. You'd rather see them over the table than under, wouldn't you?
Definitely.
Right, we've done Irrational Hatreds, and is there anyone you lot like at United apart from Fernandez? Come on, we had the love.
I think Rashford has been brilliant this year, hasn't he? I mean, come on, to be fair, yeah. Not so much on the pitch, but I definitely, you know, I like Rashford a lot. Really,
but
I think what he's
about
done this
13
year.
Goals already, Ben.
He's been okay on the pitch, yeah. That's but I'm talking more about the off-field, you know, because most of them, whether they're any good on the pitch or not, you just know the knobheads off the pitch, don't you? But, you know, he seems like he's actually a decent...
American.
He's a decent lad, isn't he? A decent human being. Him and Juan Mata. So at least we've got a couple of them.
I do think it's quite apt that Phil Jones has been ill during an entire global pandemic. That's just the most.
I think Phil Jones was patient zero. He died in March.
The fucker just needs putting down, doesn't he?
Can you imagine?
What's wrong with him? He's
they literally don't. They shout, "Don't go out, Phil. You've got to shield." But I'm a professional footballer. No, you've got to not go out, Phil. You just cannot mix with other people. It's too dangerous for you and them.
Yeah, but you
we're going to end it because no, then I'm going to get drunk. Right. Last words, you
exactly.
lot.
Exactly. Well, take the moral high ground.
Last words, you lot. If it's going to be the Christmas pod, come on, spread good cheer. Go on. I've never seen a more miserable looking set of crit. Is the escape room bringing you that much gloom? You're going to hate it, Mark.
it cheers me up knowing how much he's going to piss him off.
I'm just sending you something, lad.
Positivity.
What do you think it is?
I haven't got any. I told you this on Tuesday.
I'm positive about it.
Come on then, give us
something. I'm looking forward to the game tomorrow. I'm looking forward to Christmas. I'm looking forward to finishing work. I'm looking forward to drinking waiting wine.
Right, good.
So I wish everyone who listens to this a very Merry Christmas.
Next year.
2021.
Have a nice time with your families.
2021 is going to be better than 2020, isn't it? I mean, the fact they might be having fans in for Leeds, all right, it's not going to be great, 2000, but at least it's a step in the right direction. You know,
you're 40 next year.
It gives you some hope, doesn't it?
Yeah, we've been next year. Brownie's 50.
I'm 50.
Me too,
And I'm just hoping I can get to a fucking restaurant.
Trip away.
Gdansk, can all go to Gdansk for your 40th and Barney's 50th.
I'll tell you what, if we are, when we can, all of us celebrate 50, 40, 40. All I want to do is have a meal with my missus at 40, at 50, sorry.
Yeah. Two of us. Mate, you missed that one.
When we can all go out,
Nathan's looking forward to it.
That will be, well, Chloe already told me off earlier because we watched Gogglebox. And I can't stand it when that family, when the dogs, the dad puts his shoes on the sofa next to the donuts or the cakes. So I keep going, like, pointing at the TV, and she says, will you just stop mentioning it every fucking episode? Right, okay. On that note.
Thanks.
Thank you, everyone.
That was festive.
Yeah, thanks for that.
You're all so fucking miserable. Right, I'll set up and cheer up. But Mark's just stormed off anyway. Right, I'm going to set up a new room, and then we're going to do it. Cheers, lads.